Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
So, last time when I stood up here, I asked you quite a personal question. And it went something like, what does your underwear look like? So today, I'm not going to ask about your underwear, because we've done that one. But I am going to carry on. So today we're going to Ephesians 6. So if you'd like to have a look and follow where we're going this morning, that is where we'll be. Basically. So, a little while ago I talked a little bit about the armour of God. I touched on it briefly. I was asking you about your underwear, because I feel, it says that we should, we are trained, we are equipped by God, and we should be equipped all the time. So we need to demonstrate that we are equipped. So therefore, the armour of God is a permanent fixture on our bodies, yeah? It is something that is always on us, it is something that we wear constantly, and we are prepared. So when the enemy throws things at us, we're not running home, getting at the armour out of our wardrobe and going, oh, quick, hang on. I'm not quite ready. Let me put my arm on, then I'll come back and meet you here. It's saying, right, we are prepared. And as Christians, we need to demonstrate this, and we need to be on the ball, and we need to have it on. So today, I'd like to talk about belts, because we're going to start at the beginning of the armour of God, and we're going to talk about the belt of truth. That's woo-hoo. Excitement here. Okay, so simplicity first, and then we'll hopefully get a little bit more, insight into the Word of God. So, belts. Do you wear a belt? I don't know. My trousers hold up quite well, so I don't actually wear a belt. But, however, belts are helpful. They make you feel supported, they make you feel secure, and they save you from any form of embarrassment. Okay? So, they make you feel secure, okay? They support you. I've told you all where we're going. I should turn to where we're going. So in Ephesians 6, verse 14, I'm reading from the truth, okay? So in the truth, it's translated as, you stand firm with his truth like a belt you keep around your waist for support, okay? So it is a method of support. Keeps turning off. However, in the NIV, it says it slightly differently. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay? And in the New King James, it says, having girded your waist with truth. Okay? So there are different ways of saying it, and there are different ways of, but the consensus is you feel supported, you feel secure, because you have a belt on, okay? It saves you from any form of embarrassment, okay? So knowing the truth makes you feel secure, okay? If you don't know the truth, or if you are insecure in the truth because you've forgotten to put your belt on, you can spend the day or the week or however long it takes you to remember or feel like you want to put your belt back on, wondering, okay, who is my God? Who is my Savior? Who is my healer? Panicking. Oh, pants, I've got this bill to pay. Where is my provision coming from? Who is my provider? What is going on? You can spend your time feeling insecure. You can spend your days worrying and looking over your shoulder. Okay? I don't have any clips. I know, I felt that was going to come and everyone would be like disappointed. I have no Disney today and I apologize. However, I would like to attempt to explain or describe to you a Michael McIntyre sketch, okay? Now, this is not going to come out in the humorous way that he does it because I'm not like that. Okay, but Michael McIntyre is the only comedian I will actually sit through. I don't really like them. My humor isn't that great. I don't really get what comedians are going on about a lot of the time. But Michael McIntyre I can cope with. So if Dan's watching him, that is the one thing I won't go and switch the channel on. I'll actually watch him. Anyway, he does a sketch about his parenting skills and his children. And It's called Pants Down. Some of you might chuckle because you've seen this. But basically, when he is parenting, parents, this is not the way I don't feel to parent your children. It's a way to put fear into them. But when he parents his children, he basically can be at home playing around with them, and all of a sudden, he'll stand there and he'll go, "Pants down!" And the children literally hop up and they're running around holding their pants, because the object is for their dad to run behind them and pull their pants down. And this obviously causes embarrassment. The poor little children, he's only got little children, I can't remember how they are, but they're only little. And I can just picture them like running around the house, you know, holding their pants so their dad cannot pull the pants down. Okay, but actually, in all seriousness, do we respond like this? Do we act like this? Do we behave like this? Okay, he can... I mean, it's a very, very silly sketch, okay? But if you don't wear a belt, it's very easy to pull your pants down. Your pants down, even your trousers down. Not your pants, we don't want to pull pants down. But if you're not secure, if you haven't put your belt of truth on, it's very easy to feel insecure. It's very easy to be distracted. It's very easy to walk around looking over your shoulder going, "Oh my word." You know, and I feel like when I did pray about this, honestly, I'm not just talking about Michael McIntyre, but I felt actually other days where I'm wandering around almost like holding my trousers, holding myself together for support and going, "Where's the enemy? When's he going to pounce on me?" You know, just like these kids are probably wandering around going, "Dad's home, when's he going to say it? When's he going to say it? He's going to pounce, oh my word." You know, or you can just imagine, yeah, the kids running around just, and when he said pants down and the kids are hiding or cowering in the corner, it's like, "Where is he? Where is he? When's he going to pounce?" And actually, the days, you know, if the armor of God is not a permanent fixture on you, if you're not utterly secure in the truth, in the word of God, knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, knowing who your God is, if you're not feeling like you are held together by the truth, are you wandering around waiting almost for the enemy to pounce on you going, "Okay, yesterday was really great, the day before was really great, it must be my time for something to come at me." Do you get where I'm going? It's a mindset, it's a mentality that can actually put fear into us. Because we're wandering around and we're going, "When's it going to happen? When is it my time, if you like, to take one for the kingdom?" That's not something to joke about. We should never have to take one for the kingdom. We need to stand our ground. It's not this person was attacked by the enemy last week, so, it might be my turn this week. We have everything inside of us. We have the great I am inside of us. We have the word inside of us. John 1. You know, in the beginning was the word. It was with God. It was God. It's inside of us. There's no need to be expecting anything to pounce or anything to come upon us. Luke 9 is actually one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And you might think I'm a bit strange here because it's actually a bit of a butt-whipping scripture. But I love it because it challenges me, because it keeps me focused, and because it keeps me, if you like, on the path to the kingdom. And it, chapter 9, verse 62. A man's asking Jesus and talking to him about the cost of following him. And one of Jesus' replies at the end is, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." If we're looking back because we're not supported, held together with the truth, we're not fit for the service of the kingdom of God. If we're looking behind our shoulder, waiting, looking at the past, looking at things, are we fit? Because we're distracted, we're not looking forward, we're looking behind us. God's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Jesus died, an ultimate sacrifice, so that you never had to look behind your shoulder again. He took the old you and he made you a new creation, so that you never had to feel shame, so that you never had to feel hurt, embarrassment, humiliation. So you didn't have to feel what you might feel if you're insecure. He took it. He took it so that you did not have to look behind you, so that you were always fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Jesus couldn't reply like that if he hadn't given the sacrifice he'd given. Yeah? Wouldn't have been possible. So he poured out everlasting love, unlimited grace, and daily sources of mercy, so that you could live every day looking forward, not backwards. So that you could feel secure, because he's holding you up. His truth is holding you together. You don't have to look behind you. You don't have to wait for anything or anyone to pounce on you. You are free. Cool. So, the belt of truth supports us. It holds us together. And we're going back to Ephesians. Cool. So, he gave you the truth. Yeah, it says, you stand firm with his truth like a belt you keep around your waist. So there's a responsibility there for you to keep it around your waist, to be that permanent fixture for you to be upheld by his truth, okay? I'm looking at the wrong thing. He gave you unlimited access to the truth for your security, to know your identity and be secure in it, okay? If you're not, there is a risk of being exposed. There is a risk of any sinfulness in your lives being shown. There is a risk of feeling shame. There is a risk of, I don't know, embarrassment, humiliation. But actually, if we're secure in the truth, there's no risk of that exposure because there is nothing to expose. Because he took it all. So there's no risk. As a Christian, as someone with Jesus Christ inside of you, as someone with the truth dwelling in your heart, there is no risk at being exposed in any way, shape, or form, because there is nothing in you to expose. It's that simple. If you're secure in him, and you know the truth, you know the word of God, if you have this, like I read in John earlier, you know, if he is remaining in you, and you in him, if you are having a relationship with Jesus, you're good. This is how my brain works. You're good. You are good. There is nothing to expose. There is nothing to feel shameful about. There is nothing within you that anyone could look or point or laugh or discriminate against. There is nothing to come out. Actually, anything that's gone on before you were made a new creation, you can talk about. You are free to share. You are free to say, this is a testimony to his glory. You are free to express and say, okay, well, old creation, new creation. I can talk about my old creation because I'm secure in my new creation. I know who I am. I'm supported by his truth. It is girding around my waist, and I've put it on so that I can display to others, to the glory of God, hey, he's a good God. Hey, he took me from old creation. He made me a new creation so that I could come talk to you today. So that I can do this to see your life change, to see you supported by the truth, to see you put the belt of truth around your waist and say, hey, my life's changed now. Great, I've got nothing to be exposed to. So that someone else can then pick it up and say, hey, I've got the belt of truth on. I'm secure. I'm going to go talk to this person. It's a brilliant circle of salvation that we're all involved in each other's journeys. Regardless of how you got to know Jesus, regardless of when you got to know Jesus, there'll be someone sitting here in this congregation that has encouraged you, that has built you up, that has challenged you to go further in your walk with Jesus, that it says, hey, why are you stopping here? Keep going. Hey, I've got a testimony to share with you. This is going to encourage you to say, yeah, I'm not sitting down. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to challenge myself further. I'm going to stretch myself further. I'm going to become more intimate with Jesus. Watching these guys sing and play, and Max, brilliant today. Sorry. I was so excited about hearing Max today because I missed him on Thursday. He was the guy playing the trumpet. And if he wasn't playing, I was going to invite him to my house to, yeah, play for me, basically, because I was like, I so want to hear you play. So great. Well done. But seeing those guys, man, it makes me just, oh, I don't have that physical ability to share with you guys, but it's in me just to go, oh, Jesus, I see an intimacy between you and God when you're worshiping. I want to have that between me and God when I'm standing here. When I hear people speak, when I hear Pastor Paul and Pastor Brian stand, I'm like, ah, I want that insight. I want that revelation. I want that knowledge. I want that wisdom. And it drives me. There's a craving in me to go home and seek it out. I want that. There's no reason why I can't have that. Everyone can have everything. We're all in the same position saying, God, you know, he said, if you're remaining me and I'm remaining in you, you can ask for anything, anything, and it will be given. We drive each other forward. We challenge each other. We stretch each other. This is nothing to do with the armor of God. But hey ho. Okay, so Ephesians 6. Before we get to the armor of God, it talks a lot about honoring people in authority, honoring people in your workplace, honoring your parents, honoring, yeah, people in authority over you. And it's a real emphasis in that our battle is not against people. It's against the spiritual powers of this world, yeah. It's not against each other. It's not against people of flesh and blood. It's against the negative forces that influence and control them, okay? Against the spiritual rulers, authorities, powers that are at work in this world, that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. So that is where our battle is at, okay? That is what is why God has equipped and trained us to go against them. So when he says, so the beginning of the talk about the armor of God. Okay, so yeah, from verse 13, he says, you accept everything God has made available to you to enable you to stand steadfast when evil attacks, okay? So accept everything. That's our first given. We have to accept everything God has given to us, okay? Yes, no matter what happens, you are able to stand firm and to remain standing. You stand firm with his truth like a belt you keep around your waist for support. Stand firm. Now, when I say stand firm, I am not saying stand firm, feet planted, do not move, stand. That's not where I'm going with this, okay? When you look at the stand firm used here, it's to cause or make to stand, okay? So it's God here is saying what he's trained and equipped us with, he is causing us to stand and to make us stand, okay? So actually it's an action. Or to make stand. God's tools are making you stand, causing you, okay? I make myself laugh. Got a little Superman thing here. But if you can imagine, you know, Superman puts his suit on and he has all these amazing Superman powers. We put our belt on, we can stand firm. Okay? Make myself laugh. Okay, so standing firm is it's an action. It's something you can do. It's something you can influence on society. It's something that happens. When a long, long, long time ago, last year, when Steve Uppel was here, he spoke about the stand up, stand strong, and stand firm, stand still, stand firm things. And actually, there's one thing he said, and he says, when he used the word stand, he said, hold steady and keep your course. Keep your course, to me, is a moving thing. Yeah? So it's not a, oh, pants, the enemy's coming, I see attack, brace yourselves. And it's not us as a church, if you like, linking arms and bracing ourselves, waiting for the attack to hit to see if any damage is done. It's a stand firm, keep your course, keep going forward, look what is ahead of you, and drive yourself after your purpose in Jesus, after your destiny, after what is in front of you, yeah? It's not a stand firm and kind of grabbing whatever you have around you or whatever God's given you and kind of barricading yourself in and kind of, okay, I'm going to stand firm in my barricade and, you know, I'm really praying, I'm still in the truth, I'm still in the word, I'm standing firm, Jesus, but I'm just going to stay here until the dust settles. And then I'll go outside and see what damage has been done and, you know, stand firm and you. That is not standing firm, okay? Standing firm is saying, I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing today because I've prayed and Jesus has said, this is the task for you today. Jesus has said, this is your purpose. This is your destiny. I'm standing firm and I'm going forward in who I am in Christ because I have the confidence of who I am in Christ. I know who I am in Christ and I'm supported by the word of God. I'm supported by the truth saying, you are more than a conqueror. Whoever, you know, whoever is inside you is bigger than he who is in the world. So no matter with whatever is coming at you, you can overcome. But you overcome by moving forward. You overcome by continuing your relationship with Jesus. You overcome by declaring the word of God and being vocal, being passionate, being active, there's the word, being active in what you're doing, not sitting still and or standing firm. It's not a bracing action, it's a driving forward action. Yeah? It's a driving forward action to keep moving, to keep pursuing. Okay? If you're wearing a belt, your trousers aren't going to fall down if you run. They aren't going to fall down if you jump. If you need to jump over a hurdle, jump over it. You're supported by the truth of God. It is holding you together. It's holding you together. Yeah. It holds us together. There's nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. Where is it? It's I am the vine, and you are the branches in the vine. Anyone who continues to live in me, and I in him, will be abundantly fruitful. But outside of me, you can do absolutely nothing. The truth is inside of you. And it's not something we have to strive for. It's not something we have to eagerly sit and, oh, I must have my 2 hours of daily reading. You know, it's not something you have to earn, it's something that's inside of you. It's a given. When you say, yes, Jesus, I accept you. You are my saviour. I recognise what you've done for me. And I want to follow you in my life and love you with all that I am. Hello, it's in you. The truth is in you. What we read and when we pray and what we learn is awesome. And that's Jesus having that relationship with us and giving us further insights. So we're not just reading the words, we're living it. It's inside of us, so it's something we can live out, it's something we can demonstrate, it's something we can talk about without having to have the Bible in front of us. It's something that is there and growing inside of us. And so there's a development, but it's a given. There's no, I only gave my life to Jesus yesterday, so I haven't quite earned my belt yet. No. That was a clear no, by the way. As soon as you decide to put your faith in Jesus Christ, the truth resonates in you, because he comes to be at home within you. Amen. And he is truth. You can't escape it, even if you haven't read your Bible for a week, a month, a year. It is in you. It might take a little while to be like, not sure I can quite remember or quote any verses, but it's in you. If you start to speak, if you say, Jesus, I'm trusting you, Jesus, I want to speak your truth, it will come out, guaranteed. It's amazing. When you're putting situations in front of people, what actually comes out of your mouth without you realizing you thought you knew or was in you or anything, you're like, really? I know a scripture from the Bible without looking at it. But you do, because it's the Holy Spirit within inside of you, and he reminds you. He reminds you. It says, doesn't it? If you don't know what to pray, he'll remind you, he'll do it for you. He's a good God. He's not going to let you see, or he's not going to see you fall on your face when you're trying to bring glory to his kingdom. He's going to speak for you. He cherishes you. He loves you. And every word that comes out of your mouth, he wants to be truth. Because they're the only words that will bring life to other people. They're the only words that will transform the society and impact other people. Our words don't do that. But his truth does. If we speak with truth and love and compassion, everything he's equipped us with, we'll see a change. We'll see lives in front of us go from one degree of glory to another. Even when we speak to Christians, we'll see walls come down. We'll see eyes filled with joy. We'll see mourning turn to dancing because you're speaking life into their lives. And they're saying, wow, their heart is connecting with that. And it's changing them. The truth is a powerful thing. But it is power. The truth, when we declare it, when we're praying, when we're speaking it out, it can do anything that we proclaim it to do. When God speaks to us and says, use this scripture, declare these things out, it does things. It makes lives change. It answers prayer, It heals sick people. It brings in provision for people that don't have provision. It brings blessings to people's lives. When you smile at them, you bring a blessing to people's lives. When you take time just to sit and say, are you okay? That's a blessing to people. Because it's coming from someone that's filled with truth. Because it's coming with someone that is supported by the truth of God. Yeah? We were walking to church this morning, myself and the girls, and Elizabeth was on her... I've got two kids, by the way. Elizabeth is 3, and she was on her bike. And she was pedaling away quite happily, and then she just stopped, because she only pedals so far, and she's very good. She does stop and wait for me to catch up. But she just stopped, and I was like, come on then, let's keep going. She was like, Mummy, I'm stuck. But she was pedaling backwards. She was like, Mummy, I'm stuck, I can't move. And I was like, that's because you're pedaling backwards, sweetheart, you need to pedal forwards. Come along. And I gave her a little push to, you know, help get the momentum going, and she kept going. But yeah, let's not pedal backwards as Christians. Let's pedal forwards. Because we do get stuck if we decide to stop pedaling because we're tired, or we decide to pedal backwards. Yeah? It's almost like a hamster wheel, isn't it? Keep pedaling, the hamster runs forward, and then he stops, and then he like swings and gets a bit... He must get a real bad headache, actually, because he swings everywhere until the wheel stops before he can hop out. Or he just hops out, and then he lands in a heap on the floor. Yeah, anyway, I don't really know where that came from. But, yeah, as Christians, keep pedaling forwards. Do not pedal backwards. Because we're standing firm, but we are pursuing, and we are moving. Okay? Cool. Good times. So, the belt of truth gives us our identity and who he is, because we are supported by him. So, who are you in Jesus Christ? I'm just going to spout out some random questions now. I don't expect any answers, but it's just provoking, really. I've had some really good chats this last few weeks with the Bible College students being here. It's really fun just to have them around. Have tea. Biscuits. We make waffles, we make bread, we make pizza, we do, yeah. Basically, we've just eaten for the last, however long you've been here, 3 weeks. There's been a lot of food involved, and we've eaten a lot of good food. But just chatting to them and encouraging one another and challenging each other with our thoughts and with, yeah, different scriptures and what God says, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, this is good. But yeah, who are you? If you have the belt of truth, if you're wearing your belt of truth, you should be fixed your eyes on Jesus and know where you've come from, who you are, where you are going, and what you are doing. And you know, these are massive questions, but actually, they're not. You know that you've come from a place of darkness to a place of light, and you know that you have been washed clean, made whole, and purified by Jesus. You know that you are an heir of Christ. You've been accepted. You've been cleansed. You're set apart now for him. So you know that you are an heir of Christ. You know that you are seated in heavenly places at his... You know that. You know who you are. And you know where you're going. In the long run, you know you're going to heaven. In the short run, you know you have a jolly good purpose for being here, and you are jolly well gonna put your hand to the plow and get on with it, because you know where you're going. You know you have a destiny to fulfill in him. You know there is a purpose that God has called you to. You know there are specific passions and excitements and hobbies that he's put in you to share with other people. You know what you are doing. So they're not big questions, really. You know exactly what's going on, and it's going to be a good time in where you're going. I really don't want to talk anymore. Sorry. Can we spend a bit of time with Jesus? I just feel actually this definitely should be landed, and we should not be rambling, or I should not be rambling on. I feel that he's given you the key bits that he wanted to give you about not looking behind you, about, you know, that verse in Luke 9 and having, going forward, having your hand on that plow, and anyone looking behind them is not actually fit for service of Kingdom God, but just going forward and knowing that you're standing firm is not a static standing, it's a movement, it's a momentum. You know, he's given you the inertia, he's kicked you up the butt, and he said, go into the world and make disciples. That inertia should never, ever stop. He's given you that, the momentum should keep going now. It's our responsibility to keep pedaling and not to pedal backwards, or to stop pedaling. We're not tired, because we have the rest in him. Yeah? So being, yeah. you're looking eagerly. It'll be good to spend some time with Jesus there, and just, if you like, ponder those thoughts that have come out today. Your security, your identity, your moving forward, And actually, if you feel that you've been a bit static, or you feel that loads of stuff has been thrown at you by the enemy, so you've been kind of bracing yourself and standing firm, actually, this morning is a time to say, God, thank you so much for bracing me and helping me. I want to move forward in you. I want to take those few steps, because as I move forward, you're going to go past all the junk. You're going to go past what the enemy's trying to throw at you, because, you know, he can't do anything. You're going to go past that and into the fruitfulness, into the benefits, into the goodness of God. And so, yeah, just a good time to stand and meet with God a bit. And yeah, just, I've had enough of this. I'm not standing for it anymore. I'm not standing firm in the way that I thought I should be. I'm standing firm in the way that God wants me to. And that means moving. That means having momentum. That means pedaling your butt forward.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.